Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
If you've been paying attention to the news at all, there was an election. Some people would say there still is. And it's been pretty messy. One of the reasons that this election has been messy, and this comes up every single time, is because they have something called an electoral college, where the representatives that are elected, they actually represent certain groups of people, and some people think that it's divided up unfairly. And I'm not going to spend any more time on that. I just want to say we have the same problem in Canada. So how do we represent fairly? I heard it said recently that the entire north of Canada, from Yukon all the way across to Nunavut, across Northwest Territories, is represented by 3 seats in Parliament. People say that's not fair representation. And yet, proportionally, when it comes to population, they have more representation than the city of Toronto, just because the population is so big. So how do you do that fairly? People are constantly talking about, how do we fix this? One of the problems is that when we have these system problems, and there's an injustice in the problem, we come up with a solution that creates new injustices. The new system is also unfair. Hopefully, what happens is when we make these changes, if they're made, is that the unfairness gets reduced a little bit. And here's one of the things that's sort of wrong with the world, or wrong with our way of dealing with it, that at our best, when a system is broken, we have a really difficult time finding solutions. And many times, the solutions we implement have unintended consequences. When Facebook first came out, there were some people that were programmers that were part of the building of the software, and they said, we want to spread some joy, we want to spread some positivity in the world, and so they invented the like button. And we have people that live in anxiety for not getting enough likes. What's wrong? I didn't get enough likes, and people are striving for likes and building their posts around likes. The purpose was to spread joy. The purpose was to spread hope and happiness, and the result was anxiety and an obsession with social media. It's an unintended consequence. At best, we have a hard time solving problems. At worst, we resort to violence and retribution, all kinds of violence, not just physical violence, verbal violence, social violence. See, one of the problems is that our default behavior as human beings is that might makes right. If I'm stronger than you, if I'm smarter than you, if I have better resources, then I will overpower you to get what I want. Might makes right. It's really subtle, because sometimes we don't always realize we're doing it. We overpower with our position. We overpower with knowledge. We overpower with physical strength or violence. And God's solution to the world is the opposite of that. God's solution actually subverts the way the world does something. Because one of the big problems we have as human beings is suffering. And we want to solve that by imposing new systems or creating sort of a equalization. And sometimes that turns into retribution. But God's purpose is not to overcome suffering by imposing systems or control or violence or forcing people to do stuff. His purpose, or his means to overcome suffering, is to enter into suffering and absorb it. This is what God, he put on human flesh. Jesus comes to earth. The worst that the world had to throw at anybody was leveled at Jesus. And rather than responding in kind, with retribution, with violence, he absorbed it. And in the absorption of violence, that's the only possible way to result in love and forgiveness, to absorb the hatred and the violence. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of a detour this morning, just for a couple of minutes. And the detour is Matthew 18, verse 6, which says this: but if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone. A large millstone in that culture would be a piece of stone about 3 or 4 feet radius, well, diameter, this big. That's what they're talking about, a millstone that we use to grind grain. It'd be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned into the depths of the sea. What Jesus is saying here is that when we deal with the problems we have, we are never permitted to impose suffering on somebody else. See, the natural condition of the world, the results of the curse or separation between God, the natural condition is suffering, but it's never our job to perpetuate it, ever. for others or for ourselves. There's some people that want to impose suffering on themselves, have kind of a martyr complex, and think better of themselves. That kind of martyr complex is actually idolatry. So we don't increase suffering, we don't make suffering happen, but suffering already exists. And if we're following Jesus' footsteps, at some point, we're called to willingly enter suffering according to God's will, according to His will, according to His direction and leading. When I was in Bible college, I was part of a very small church. The detour is done now. I was part of a very small church, and we were doing a youth outreach. And I think it was the week before, we went out into the town on a Friday night. It was a bit of a rough town, and handing out flyers and pamphlets, say, come to this outreach we're doing next week. And a friend of mine from college, he was actually my best friend in college, he was with us, and I don't even know why he didn't come to our church. He was helping out. And somebody got upset at him and kicked him in the head, literally kicked him in the face because he handed him a flyer. And this is really unusual, okay? This doesn't normally happen in our culture. But last week we talked about Hebrews 12, I think verses 2 and 3. And I want to read verses 3 and 4 today. It says this, consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. See, for the most part, most people here, by being a follower of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're here, if you're watching online, you probably haven't been kicked in the face just for being a follower of Jesus. Never happened to me yet. We may experience all kinds of negative consequences. Maybe you've lost a job promotion at work. Maybe you've been socially ostracized. Maybe you've suffered verbal abuse. But most of us have not experienced physical suffering or physical threat. We're kind of in the minority in the world's history, and I mentioned this last week, but I want to share a story with you today. I want to share a video interview that I did with somebody from our church, Ashken. He's been with us for a couple of years, and we did a Zoom interview, and I do want to say that this is drastically edited for time, but I just want you to hear Ashken tell his own story, okay? So let's run that video.
Okay, this is Ashken. Ashken has been part of Crossings Church for almost 2 years now. And Ashken, can you share a little bit of your story about how you came into relationship with Jesus and how you came to Crossings Church?
So we used to live in Iran, and I read about Christianity in books before, or I had some Google searches or things like this, or you know, kind of conversations with my friends. I was curious to know what it is, because basically I had like some sort of internal fight with Islamic rules from the early ages. But anyway, I was just kind of curious to know what other religions are. So I started studying about other religions, but we did not have like much sources. So you cannot find a Bible in Iran. It's against law. So my wife, she has a cousin. We had conversations about politics, about policy, about religion. I told them that I have I kind of hated Islam because of some backgrounds, because yeah, I was a university student. So there was this big election in Iran, which was in 2011, if I'm not mistaken. It was just like uprising in all the cities in Iran. I was a university student. It was like the final exams. So it was just me and two other of my friends going back. We had an exam. We're just going back home. It was not police, but because we have some sort of other forces in Iran, like IRGC. If people just Google it, they can know what it is. That they attack people. We're just running, and someone just hit me from back. I fell on the ground, and I saw someone just taking my friend. They just took him to a van and we never saw him again. That was kind of the point that started this hatred for me from everything, specifically of Islam, because everything was happening because it was an Islamic republic country. So conversations about this with my wife's cousin and her husband, it was not that easy. They were not trusting because it's very risky for everyone. For them, it was risky for them, it was risky for us. But again, after a while kind of sharing ideas about like religious ideas, they told us that they have converted to Christianity, and there's because there are some sort of home churches in Iran, randomly police or other forces, they find and then they capture people, and the result is something brutal. So, and they actually said that if you like to, we can kind of take you to our home church. At first, I was kind of hesitant because I was afraid, to be honest with you, because what would happen if it's kind of, it was risky. But again, I have a cousin, it's my cousin that he lives in Sweden. And then he's a Christian. I was in random contacts with him through WhatsApp, which was encrypted, so it was not being tracked or traced. So he was telling me stories about Christianity, or the way he became Christian, let's say their view towards life and death. It was amazing, because hearing that Jesus was the God himself was kind of shocking for me first, that how's that even possible? I wanted to find an answer to my questions. But again, it was dangerous questions to be asked. So all these data, along with our personal Ellie and I, both of us had some personal feelings, like especially for her, because women in Iran, it's an awful situation for them. It's been during the past 4 years, and it's getting worse every day. All these details, along with the personal feelings that we had, we knew that there should be a God. There was something inside me like a dying flame. But we're just trying to keep that alive. That's why, honestly, we accepted to go to the home churches for the first time. I wanted to see if that would answer my questions. The very first session, we were amazed, and the energy that we got from people, and then their of them sharing stories, or even one of the things that attracted us very much was the way they were worshiping God through music. I mean, basically music, it's a no-no in God. I mean, based on Islamic kind of thoughts or ideas, if you are trying to worship God, it is better to be through crying, weeping. That's the way God likes it. You know, all of a sudden seeing people are worshiping God through music, and it's joy, and they're happy, and it was so amazing, and it was just unbelievable. We kept going to different spots, because they used to keep it like in different spots to kind of keep it from being tracked. At some point, we just offered them that we can share our home, our house. This is a fun part. We used to live in a residential complex. There were security guards asking who is this coming in or going out. So they had our contacts. If a friend of mine was trying to get into my house, they were asking, who are you going to visit? So they were calling me to just get the confirmation first, just like with the condos here. So and that day, so we had this man who was our neighbor. He was just living upstairs. Well, he called me out of nowhere, and he said, "Hey, why are your GC car just entered the complex asking for your address?" And we actually were prepared for situations, I guess, but we never saw that coming. I mean,
so this is an unofficial police organization.
This is an official police organization that controls police as well, the IRGC. So, well, I heard this. I just grabbed my little bag. It was just, you know, I add my passports and other things. We just went to the rooftop, and then a couple of buildings away, we went down the stairs, and then there was just one big gate that cars could go in or out, but there was another very small gate that just it was just for people, which was the opposite side of the main gate. We just went out of the complex, and then everyone just split it without talking to each other, really. So Ellie and I, we just went to my aunt's house without telling them what is happening. And the day after, I asked her husband to take us to a friend of mine. Actually, he was living close to the airport. I used to work at the airport, so I had lots of friends at the airport, and most of them were just sitting like close to the airport because they had to commute a lot. So I called him. We told him what is going on, what has happened, and he was shocked. He just told me, "Come over. You're going to stay with me, so we can figure out what we're going to do." But because obviously we didn't have any plans to just run from the country, because I mean, it's unlike everything that we have worked for during all these years. We can't just leave everything behind. So after going to my friend's house, it was not an easy decision to make. We stayed there for a week. And we had to, because after a couple of days, we decided that we definitely need to run, because I had a visa for Canada, and I had my passport with me. I had a couple of $1,000 with me. I was making a lot of money. I had a good job. I had a good house. Everything was super fine. But I just had a couple of $1,000, nothing more, because I couldn't even change my money, because obviously it was in my bank card and it was traceable. So we didn't risk that. So I left everything. If we were captured, the sentence was death penalty. So my friend actually bought tickets for us. I didn't have money to pay for it. I just had $2,000, less than $2,000. I had a friend here in Newmarket, and I called her from Frankfurt, Germany. I told her that I'm away to Canada. And she was just surprised.
Because the way we have lived in North America, or in the West, Western Europe, for the past 200 years is kind of the exception in history. Our life has been, in general, very easy compared to the way people have lived in the rest of the world and in the rest of the history. And so when we experience a challenge, when we experience a trial, for example, like COVID-19, it kind of knocks us flat. We don't really know how to handle that, because we tend to, in general, not face trials like that that have been common around the world. And that's the first reason why it's important to hear stories like this. The second reason why it's important to hear stories like this is because we, as followers of Jesus, we have brothers and sisters around the world that are going through this kind of persecution all the time. And it's important for us to recognize that they are our family, and we need to be praying for them. We need to be supporting them in prayer, even if we don't know their names, even if we don't see their faces. Whatever country that Christians are going through trials and tribulation, whether it's in Africa, which has been happening over the past 5-10 years, the news is not big on this, whether it's in China, which has been happening for the past 50 years or more, whether it's in the Middle East, we have brothers and sisters around the world that are suffering, and we do have a requirement to help carry their burdens in prayer. And then the third reason is because we can be encouraged to persevere in this. We've spent a bit of time camping in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Now, that's directly referring to the previous chapter, where there's this list of the heroes of faith, the people that triumphed, the people that succeeded, and the people that didn't because of their faith. And we also have heroes of faith in the world around us today that are persevering despite their struggles. And so to contextualize our struggles, which are legitimate, which we really have, it's really important to hear the stories of other people that are fighting for their lives, that are under threat of violence, that are under the threat of death just for being followers of Jesus. I have no text message questions to answer, so maybe you're here today, or maybe you're watching online, and you are not a follower of Jesus. And maybe you have no hope in your trials. When Mariah was here, she said, you know, God makes anything bad and can turn it good. And maybe you have no hope for that. Maybe you have no idea why you're going through this stuff, or you have no answer for what good can come out of it. And when you become a follower of Jesus, God will participate in your life to take whatever is bad and to turn it into good. And I want to give you an invitation this morning to become a follower of Jesus. It's as simple as ABC. A, admit that you are not making it without him. Admit that your best effort to solve the problems of suffering in your life, which usually ends up turning into might makes right, they're not working. You have all kinds of negative unintended consequences. You resort to retribution, you resort to violence and unforgiveness of other people. Jesus entered into suffering for you, that you could be part of God's family. Jesus absorbed the evil of the world to make possible for you to live right. And so the first thing is to admit your need, and the second thing is to believe, to trust that Jesus has made that path available for you. And then the C is to commit, to give your allegiance to Jesus, the one who has made possible the alleviation of suffering in the world and for you, that ultimately one day you will spend an eternity with God without suffering, and that whatever you have suffered in this world, whatever trials you face today, he will turn that into something good. He has meaning. He's got purpose for whatever you go through. And so I want to invite you to become a follower of Jesus. To do that ABC, admit you need him, believe that Jesus has the solution for you, and commit your life to him. And if this is something that you want to do today for the first time, I'd invite you to pray something like this. You can borrow my words or say them after me. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the life you've made available for me. I admit that I'm not making it on my own, but I am choosing to trust the path that Jesus has for me. I'm choosing to commit my life to you today. Take whatever I have, the good and the bad, and make something good and beautiful out of it. In Jesus' name, amen. And if this is a decision you're making today for the first time, I really want to challenge you to connect with us. We are not called to live our spiritual lives, to do this spiritual journey alone. We do it together. God meets with us when we are together and draws us into the life he has for us. And so the best way to connect with us is if you go to crosslands.live, that's sort of our access point for announcements, information, and getting involved. But click the Follow Jesus button. Give us your contact information, and we'll respond to you with next steps. How do you move on from here? I would encourage you to do that. God's purpose is ultimately to overcome all suffering, all trials. And he doesn't do that with a gun. He doesn't do that through domination. Jesus made it possible by entering into suffering, by taking on the violence and the evil of the world and absorbing it and rendering it useless and ineffective and coming through on the other side through resurrection to true life, to full life. And that's something that's available continually to all of us. Let's close in prayer today. Father, I thank you that you are good, that you take anything bad and make something good out of it. And whatever trials we're facing, whatever sufferings we are enduring, you are with us and you are making something good out of the worst that we face. Father, give us perseverance. Help us to recognize the suffering that others experience. Help us to lift one another up in prayer and help us to persevere. Help us to aim towards the ultimate goal that you have for us, Christ-likeness and the coming of your kingdom on earth. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.